Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David Johnston.
Our spirit, we're transitioning to understand how to interplay the God spirit. The first thing we talked about was the four kinds of spirits. Number one, there is the Spirit of God. Number two, there are angelic spirits. Number three, there are demonic spirits. Number four, there are human spirits. Every human being is a spirit. No animals have spirit. They have soul, but no spirit. When we say they have soul, they have limited intelligence and emotion, but they have no spirit. And the spirit of man goes upward, and when we die, from whence it came? For he is the father of spirits. So there are four kinds of spirits. Well, we're going to get eventually into Corinthians chapter 12. You know that there are nine manifestations of the spirit listed there. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirits, one I wanted to get to, tongues, interpretation, tongues, gift of faith, working miracles and healing. But there is one called the discerning of spirits, and the ability to discern the spirit behind an activity or even involved in a person. It's going to become very important, because sometimes that discernment, well, you will discern that that is just a human spirit, that, or it's a demonic spirit, or it's an angelic spirit, or it's the Holy Spirit. And the discernment, the gift, the ability to discern spirits is going to give you the ability to discern one of those four kinds of spirits. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to verbalize it, but I'm going to give you a list in the scriptures of all the kinds of spirits there are. They all come into one of those four categories, but those four categories are broken down and defined, and I'm going to provide them to you. Then we learn what is a spirit. We learn that I am a spirit, an eternal being or person created by God, possessing intelligence, feeling, and choice. And God is the author of all spirits. He's the only one in the spirit-making business. And so we are divided up. We have a soul, mind, and emotion, and we have a body. But this is, in essence, what we are right here. We got this straight. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Everybody should be able to rhyme those three things off at will. Because this is the understanding of who we are. I am a spirit. When you look up here, you don't see my spirit. You see my body. And you will hear things that come through my mind. Because stuff comes out of the spirit, out of your spirit, through your mind and your emotions, and then to the physical, and that's how we communicate with the physical world. And that we'll understand a little more clearly in a moment. And then we began last week our study of the attributes of the human spirit. Number one, we're our core strength, that the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity by the wounded spirit who can bear. And then the spirit has sensibilities of its own. I'm not going to spend any time on these. We already reviewed them. A person's spirit can be influenced, and we'll cover some of that tonight. And then the spirit, our spirit, assumes various conditions, whether good or evil. Our spirits are in a condition. A person can be in a sad condition, a despairing condition, or an elated condition. The spirit is in some kind of a condition. Now, let me just pause for a moment. When we talk about what kind of spiritual condition are you in, that is precisely what we're asking. What is the condition of my spirit? Now, that's important to know, because we, as you're going to see in a moment, have the ability, and we're responsible for the condition of our spirit. And we must be very careful not to let other people control our spirits. And they will attempt it. Evil spirits will try to control your spirit. We'll come to some of those. But the spirit assumes various conditions, and that condition can change. But whether good or evil. Then each of us is responsible for the condition that our spirit does assume. And it is controllable. It is determinable, because what God did when he made you a spirit is he gave you the ability of self-determination. And so we are responsible to him for what we do with ourselves. And then we learned last week that a spirit can identify the condition of others. And that's based on that scripture. What knoweth the spirit of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. What knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? We can detect other people's condition of their spirit, not by what they say, because they may put on a big front. They may have a callous front. They may have a cold look. They may project some image, but they can't hide their spirit, because that spirit condition that they have is detectable by our spirit. And then we rejoice in this, that our spirit can receive information directly that doesn't have to go through the process of ears to hear it or eyes to see it. God can put things in your spirit. For the scripture says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That's a spiritual, from his spirit to our spirit, communication. Now, certainly, there are logic and reason of how you know you are saved. And yes, there are emotional ways of telling to some extent. But there are people who may think they're saved, but may not be. What really confirms our condition is when his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That spiritual witness is undeniable. That's why we want to be very careful about ever trying to convince people they're saved, because they may not be. And it's one thing to be heading towards hell and know it, but it's another thing to be heading towards hell and think you're heading towards heaven. But the Spirit will know. And that's why, as we're going to progress, and I'm really excited about some of the stuff that's in front of us for the next couple of months, because we're going to get into this place where we're going to learn by God's Spirit how to touch the spirit of another person. And that's going to be vitally important. And then the spirit is contagious. And that's why you want to be careful with the kind of people you hang out with, because their spirit is contagious. And if somebody has a spirit of whoredom, you want to stay away from that person because it's contagious. Do you follow that? But in the same sense, I want to tell you something. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you find somebody in whom is the, are you ready? The spirit of wisdom. That's a biblical concept. We're going to come to it. How do you get the spirit of wisdom? We know how to get wisdom. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We also know that wisdom comes from searching the scripture. But God can place in you a spirit of wisdom. Well, if you find somebody who has a spirit of wisdom, you want to hang out with that person because it's contagious. Amen? And so good things are just as contagious as evil things. All right. So here we are tonight in new material. Number 9. The spirit is intended to be, and we're talking about the human spirit, is intended to be the dwelling place of God. A.W. Tozer wrote a book called Man, the Dwelling Place of God. And well, he put it. This is wonderful to think that God is not only willing but zealous to take up residence inside us. Now, you can get the words of God in your mind, the thoughts of God in your mind. You can even get the feelings of God in your emotions. But God himself takes up residence in your spirit. I want you to see it in the Bible, and then I'll give you a diagram. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. And that he, this other comforter, knows the capital C, it's referring to the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, another one of his names. Now watch this. Whom the world cannot receive. It doesn't get it. Doesn't see it. And they don't know him. But you know him. Watch. For he dwelleth with you. Ready? And shall be. Whoa. This is sacred ground. That God can come walking into the pages of the scriptures right into your spirit. And beloved, when that happens, everything changes. Old things pass away. Everything becomes. Regeneration is not the result of a mental transformation or an emotional change. Regeneration is the result and the byproduct of the entrance of God. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? He's designed you and I to be receptors of His own person, individually. That's what Jesus was getting at. He says, you know, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Now, when Jesus was here, He was with the guys, the followers, but He promised that the Spirit would come into you and not just be with you, but He would be in you. Hallelujah. Nothing is more important. No religious creed or doctrine. No framing of ideas. No behavior. Nothing compares with the entrance of God into the human spirit. Much. Here we are. This is the real you here. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Now watch. The Holy Spirit comes into your... This is why the Scripture says that which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. And He comes into your spirit to do a whole bunch of wonderful things. You're going to see in a moment that Scriptures say that you have to know what He can do in you, because if you don't know about it, it may not happen. Ignorance has not got a premium on it. So that's why next week we're going to talk about what does the Holy Spirit want to do in you? And what does He want to do through you? The Holy Spirit comes in here. And He takes up residence in your spirit. It's a merger, if you please. Let's look at another scripture. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Now watch here. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, in another name of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of truth, he is not. But you are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So we go back here. If this Holy Spirit isn't in here, we don't belong to Him. We are, like Paul described, as of all men most miserable. Let me just take this a bit farther. You've heard it said, and it is said properly, but there is this empty spot in man that until God enters it, it remains empty. And mankind tries everything under the sun except God to get this satisfaction, but to no avail. Man is lonely without God. Man is empty without God. You see, because when God comes in, love comes in. And people are still, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And all the wrong, trying to fill the empty thing here. Nothing can ever take the place of God in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. How is Christ in you? He's the Spirit of Christ is in you. If so be, that the Spirit dwell in you. Now here's a little bit of evidence. The human spirit can be indwelt by other spirits, specifically evil spirits. Now, in this particular scripture, and then there's dozens of these scriptures, but don't regard them that have a familiar spirit. This familiar spirit is one of the kinds of spirits that we'll list in that list I was telling you about. Let me tell you what a familiar spirit is. It's an evil spirit that makes people think that you lived before, but you were reincarnated. Now watch this. Man is here, and he has 70 years, some of us a bit more. And then the spirit returns to God. But evil spirits have been here for 5,000 years. And these spirits have been around humanity these centuries. And they are familiar with things that have gone on. And that's why some people seem to have a spirit of divination. What they're, you know, do you remember in the Old Testament that Saul consulted a familiar spirit? Like, it's as if somebody came back from the dead. Nobody comes back from the dead. You got that straight? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. People cannot reincarnate. But these spirits know stuff because they've been around. And they can possess a person and communicate information that they're familiar with. And so thus is born the teacup readers and the palm readers and the seances. All that kind of stuff. And what's happening is there are spirits familiar with certain facts, and when they convey these facts, people go into some kind of amazement over it. They think it's supernatural. Now, it's just a spirit who's familiar with some of the facts and gave it to you. Got it? That's fine. Now, but this is just one kind of spirit. Let's look at another. Now, the 12 disciples were with him, and there was a certain woman that was with the 12 disciples as well. Now watch. This certain woman had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And her name, and then there was Mary Magdalene, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. I don't know how far to take you down this road, not very far tonight. But it seems to me that we need to be both informed by the scriptures and empowered by the Spirit in these days, because you will be encountering evil spirits. And the good news for you, beloved, is simply this, that God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. You do not have to be afraid of evil spirits, because all the authority you need to exercise to deal with them is already conveyed to you. Hallelujah. That is good news. So don't get jittery when we talk about evil spirits and demons, because they're under your feet. Hallelujah. But we will probably suggest some of the biblical ideas of how evil spirits get possession. For these evil spirits can oppress, depress, repress, and possess. When we talk about the term possess, we're actually talking about the spirit, evil spirits, actually possessing, controlling a human spirit. Now, here's a story of the Galilean meeting the man from Gadarene. And remember, he had these evil spirits, and everybody's afraid of him. And he lived out among the tombs. Interesting. Preoccupation with death. And they would bind him with chains, and he would break the chains. So Jesus encounters the man and delivered the evil spirits out of him. Look at this now. They went out to see, because they had heard this had happened. They went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Now watch this now. They had been in control of this man. But now the devils were departed. And now look, because here's some good signs that the devil has departed. Are you ready? Because he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Number two, he's got clothes on. You don't think the undressing of America is not because of demonic influences? Excuse me. It is an industry demonically influenced. That's why The Bible says, beware of seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. And we're living in an environment where demon influence is unleashed. And you know why it's unleashed? It's because people are open to it. I watched a scene in Haiti where people danced and begged evil spirits to come into them. And I watched the evil spirits come into them. Unclothed demons lurk in wait for susceptible. For the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And some people just don't mind being devoured, consumed by it. We'll get to that. But here's this guy. The devils are departed. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed. And look at this now. And he's in his right mind. Notice, this is so glorious. When the demons are out, you sit at the feet of Jesus. You got your clothes modestly appareled once again. And you get your mind back. Don't you doubt for a moment that a lot of mental insanity today is not really a physiological condition. Or for that matter, a chemical one. But the possession of evil spirits. And if people could get rid of the evil spirits, oh, they would know Jesus. They would get their clothes on and they'd be in their right minds. Evil spirits. Watch. Ken, watch the screen. Come into the spirit. Now watch here. Evil spirits can oppress and it can even affect the soul and try to depress. Okay. Watch this now. But they seek to possess, to come into occupancy. Screen with me one more time. And there can be a plurality. Now remember, evil spirits are disembodied. They have no bodies. And they seek bodies in order to communicate with the physical world. They can't manifest because they are limited, as opposed, by the way, to angelic spirits. Who do have bodies. And they have choice. Can appear. Watch this now. I want you to see this. That these spirits get inside here. And they affect the human spirit. The human spirit was made to be the dwelling place of God. But man has rejected God. Has submitted and subjected himself to evil spirits. Who now possess many a person. Now watch it. Evil spirits must be cast out and kept out. See if I can get you the short version. By the way, this is an unclean spirit. This is another one of the spirits in the list of that you can identify. Familiar spirits, one of them. Infirm spirits. We're going to come to that. Unclean spirit is referring to usually moral uncleanness, okay? Moral uncleanness. And if you don't think the unclean spirits are having a party in America today, I don't know where you've been. That's why you want to do everything, beloved. Every young person here, and every adult as well, to give no place to the devil. Zero tolerance. Zero tolerance to the devil. Now, when the unclean spirit is cast out of a man, here it is. The unclean spirit now is gone out of a man. Look what happens to that spirit, because he's disembodied. So what does he do? He walks through dry places seeking rest. He's got no place to pitch camp. And he doesn't find one. So this evil spirit saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. They will always try to come back. That's why deliverance ministry is not just casting out evil spirits. Let me tell you something. Casting out evil spirits is not that difficult. Keeping them out is a different story altogether. Now watch this. Because this evil spirit was cast out and he says, I'm going to return to the house from whence I came. And when he comes back to the person out of which he was expelled, he finds that that person has been swept and garnished. It's clean. Why? Of course, because the evil spirit's gone out of there. And when unclean spirit goes out, cleanliness gets back in. Now watch. Next verse. Then goes he and taketh to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in, and they dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. That is why we want to learn with precision to exercise the authority given to us in dealing with people. A, to cast out evil spirits. And B, because deliverance is twofold. Deliverance ministry requires dealing with the devils, but it also means dealing with the person. If you deal with the devils and cast them out and don't deal with the person, he gets seven more and they come back, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So deliverance is not just getting rid of devils. Deliverance has to do with helping that person who is a spirit get such a presence and power of God in his spirit that the demons can't come back anymore. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. You see, demon spirits come in to bind a man. Holy Spirit comes in to give him freedom. Oh, blessed be the Holy Ghost. They have to be cast out, and they have to be kept out. We'll cover some of this. Now, I told you that the Holy Spirit, it's not I told you this. The Word of God told you. That man is to be the dwelling place of God. That this blessed Holy Spirit wants to come in to you. And by the way, let me give you a couple words of encouragement about this. Do not have fear about the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to spend some time on how to identify the Holy Spirit. He doesn't mind you checking him out. Do not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's comforter. Comes to be in you. Comes to salvage you. Comes to take up residence in a clean house. Comes to bring freedom. Do not be afraid because of some charismatic extreme that you've heard of. Be careful that you don't react and go over to the other ditch and not welcome him. Do not be afraid to sing. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own gentle way. Don't be afraid to sing, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. You're going to discover that the Holy Spirit can be quenched. See, over this one extreme, they conjure up all kinds of stuff and call it God. Over here, to push God out, they quench the Spirit. They grieve the Spirit. We don't want to. Don't go from one extreme to the other. Stay right smack dab in the center here where the Holy Spirit is welcome to you. And when he comes, it will be glorious. It will be glorious because you will have a personal contact with God in your spirit. That's why next week we're going to learn what the Spirit wants to do in us and then through us. The Holy Spirit wants to work in us and through us. In us and through us. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. And by the way, whenever Jesus stands and cries, it's a good thing to listen to. I mean, this is big time stuff coming right now. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me. Now watch this. Watch this now, because this phrase, you should underline it in your notes. He that believes on me, as the Scriptures has said. As the Scriptures has said. As the Scriptures has said. If the Scriptures say it, you can count on it. If the Scriptures don't say it, don't count on it. And if you would go to a meeting and somebody stands up and says something like this, well, you're going to see things tonight that are not in the Bible. Do you know it's time to leave? When somebody says, you're going to see things tonight that they're not in the Scriptures, Don't even hang around. Don't let your curiosity grip you. Because we believe as the Scriptures. And if it's not in the Scripture, it's probably not going to be the Holy Ghost. And if the Bible is telling you something about the Holy Spirit, then you can count on that. He that believeth on me as the Scriptures has said. Now watch this. Out of his belly, gut, a term that has a physiological connotation, but only because the author's talking about your spirit. I'll show you that in a moment. They used to call it your belly. They used to call it your other translation, out of your innermost being. That's a good phrase. Out of your innermost being. What is your innermost being? It's not your body. It's not your emotions. It's not your mind. It's your spirit. Out of your spirit shall flow rivers of living water. Now watch this now. But this he spake of the Spirit. This flow that's to come out of us is to be the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Which they that believe on him, Jesus, should receive. Should receive. Should receive. You got this? Now watch this, because here's an important phrase, and I don't want to get into date because time to get down to the closing line here. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He didn't come back to heaven yet. So the Comforter didn't come. Now, was the Holy Spirit here in the Old Testament? Absolutely, yes. But the relationship of the Holy Spirit to people in the Old Testament is different than the Holy Spirit relationship to people in the New Testament. Like if you go to the story of Samson, the Holy Spirit would come on him, and what would happen? He had great strength. The Holy Spirit came on people for tasks and left. But not in the New Testament. Jesus says, now, it's going to be in you. Now he's going to dwell in you. And he's not going to leave. And of course, Jesus was not yet glorified. He hadn't gone back. Ascension hadn't taken place yet. 50 days after that ascension. That's why it's called Pentecost. The Spirit was given. Fell on. Fell on. And that started this church age where the Holy Spirit dwells humanity. Now watch. Here's the Holy Spirit coming into you, coming into your spirit. Oh, this is so delightful. Now watch this now. Because what's inside of you needs to come out. Watch the screen with me. Because I'm just going to change some colors so you can get the connection here. Out of you shall flow the Spirit. A river. I'm going to change the color one more time. Because the question that all of us are going to have to ask ourselves, and without condemnation of any sort, watch the diagram. How much of the Holy Spirit that's in me can get out? Can He speak through me? Can He manifest through me? Can this river flow? Can the river flow? Because what God wants to do is He wants His Holy Spirit to be able to flow right through us. Here's another person over here. And He wants to flow through us to reach that person's spirit. Got it? Now, next Wednesday night, this is our subject. What does the Holy Spirit want to do in us? And what does the Holy Spirit want to do through us? How blessed we will be to open the pages of this book and discover these delightful answers. Hallelujah. Beloved, tonight, it's sufficient for us to understand that we are the dwelling place of God. You want to start treating yourself holy because you are, because the Holy Spirit. You want to keep this mind holy because the Holy Spirit. You want to keep your emotions holy because the Holy Spirit. You want to keep your body holy because the Holy Spirit. And this wonderful Holy Spirit is bearing witness to our spirit. I'm going to give this little, okay, I'll give you a little, I'll just give you a little. As many as are led by the Spirit, that is something of God. This Holy Spirit thing is not just, He didn't just come in there and fill up space. His purpose and intention. He's gentle.
He's loving. There's nothing unchristlike about the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be something this year if each of us reached a new dimension of having the Holy Spirit work in us? That's what we're going to get started on next Wednesday. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts. We're going to start off there next Wednesday. Would you be willing to just stand with me for a moment and just affirm the way we started out the service tonight? Hands half raised, at least to the Lord, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome in this place. And we're not talking about this building tonight, Lord. We're talking about the temples. We're talking about our bodies. We're talking about our mind and our hearts and our spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and dwell in your people. You promised you would be in us. You would cause us to walk after your ways, change things in our lives. And I pray, oh God, to begin tonight in us. For Jesus' sake, thou art welcome, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.